Portia Booker, executive producer and TV host.
What inspired you to get into the media field?
So it's a funny story, Michael. Some people know this, but I originally wanted to become an English teacher when I graduated from high school because my English teacher then really inspired my love of language, of storytelling. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to be another English teacher. I can just, be able to go back to school and talk about Brit literature, Shakespeare, poetry, all the great things, right? Well, my first day in college, one of my friends who graduated from high school with me, they were in the class above me, said, "Hey, Portia, this newsroom back here needs writers." So the minute I went back to that newsroom, changed my whole trajectory in life. And that's how I started in media. So I started in print. I started off just being a feature writer for the student-run newspaper at my alma mater, Tri-C, Cuyahoga Community College. And I worked my way up to becoming editor-in-chief of the newspaper. Well, once I finished my time at community college, I pivoted to Kent State University, my other alma mater, and I switched my role, my major to broadcast. So I did both television and radio. And after my endeavor there, I boarded the ship, the ship of what I like to call my big girl dream job. So I landed my first big girl job at NBC, and I was a producer there for a period of time. And let's just say life happened where I experienced a mental breakdown. And through that mental breakdown was my breakthrough to really finding my true calling. And so here I am today. My pivot back into media, if you want to call it, Michael, was when I started my show group with Portia on the radio station when I moved back home. And that was my way of just telling the stories of mental health journeys that entrepreneurs go through, right? Because there's an up and down when you're pivoting communities, when you're starting a new endeavor, and you think that there's going to be a community supporting you that you had in corporate, and that's not always the case. And so that was my spark back to life. And here I am today, where I have my own TV show, The Grief Grand Tour, on E360 TV, where we focus on embracing gratitude in order to evolve grief.
Can you tell me a little bit about your mental health journey?
Oh, where do I begin? So when I think about it today, Michael, my mental health journey really started when I was in high school. And it stemmed from the first, if you want to call it, physical transition, which was my aunt. My aunt transitioned in December of 2006, right around Christmas time, of course, like the week before Christmas, right? Talk about like rotten, or getting cold for Christmas type of thing. And it started there because that was the first time I experienced that level of grief from somebody who was so close to me. I mean, I saw her every single day. She lived across the street. And when I think about now, that time in my life, I never knew or never learned how to work with my grief. So you figure what you don't address becomes suppressed. And at some point in time, it's kind of like when you keep pouring water into an already full pot. Right. Eventually, it's going to boil over. And that's what happened when I embarked on my first TV career. When I saw my TV career crumpling for me, I literally just couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle the thought of failure. I couldn't handle the thought of me coming back home and wearing the scarlet letter over my face that I didn't succeed in the life that I truly wanted. And when I think back to that time, Michael, one of the things that really stands out for me is just how much mental health is still not addressed in the way that I think we need to address it. There's still a lot of hidden, what I like to call not agendas, but I think there's too much skirting around the real issue, right? We think that there's a one narrow tailored path towards mental wellness. And it took for me quitting my meds cold turkey and almost ending my life by suicide for me to start living again and for me to really start unpacking my own mental wellness journey. So, does that answer your question?
Yes. So with that, what inspired you to create this show?
Well, the show The Grief Grand Tour, let me back up really quick. Let me back up to when. After I left my TV, my first TV career, I experienced what I like to call a grief pit, where all of my creativity literally came to a halt. Michael, when I tell you I would try to pick up a pen and write, I couldn't write. I couldn't do photography. And my mom really inspired my love for photography and videography. She bought me my first camera when I was like 8 or 9. So I started just shooting little still pictures of the flowers in the yard. And then eventually I'd take little fun videos for little YouTube things that I would make. After my TV career, I just couldn't find my footing anymore. I lost my passion for storytelling. And when I moved back home, and when I went to a networking mixer that had a bunch of TV personalities here in Cleveland, somebody said to me, "Hey, I heard that you're looking for a position." And this was at the radio station, WOVU. And I started off just producing shows. Now, mind you, I didn't even have my first show then. And a year later, the radio station offered me my own showtime. And originally, my show was supposed to be a co-hosted show. It wasn't supposed to be Grew with Portia. It was supposed to be called Two Peas in a Pod, which the show was going to be with me and one of my good friends. Both of our names begin with P. Well, you know how sometimes, Michael, not everybody is ready to take the baton to success when you are. So you have to keep going. And so with Grew with Portia, that's how I started to rekindle that passion for storytelling. Hearing what some of these entrepreneurs went through and are still navigating to this day. Like one of them, I'll never forget, she lost 4 key family members in 4 months. 4 months. And you're still going. You're still thriving. You're still sharing your message. And you haven't faltered in anything, right? And so when I think about now, Michael, my show, The Grief Grand Tour, The Grief Grand Tour stemmed from loss. It stemmed from losing both of my parents 9 months within each other. My mom transitioned July 7th of 2022, and my father, it's coming up on a year, April 15th of 23. And I noticed then, Michael, that there was not conversations about grief. You know, grief helps you to learn if you're open to it. Grief teaches you a lot about people. It teaches you a lot about yourself. And it teaches you a lot about life. And one of the biggest things that I've learned in this last year, or the last 2 years, minus both of my parents, is that all grief is valid. When you lose somebody significant, it really shows you just how much there's still to unpack in our society about grief.
How does talking to people on the show help your own healing process?
Oh, that's a good question, Michael. I'm gonna be honest. For me, it reaffirms that I'm not alone in my journey of grief. Grief is a personal journey, but a universal experience. None of us on this human plane are excluded from experiencing grief. And when I talk to some of these guests, Michael, I mean, sometimes literally after I do an interview with somebody, like I have an interview today with somebody whose parents both committed suicide. So that's going to be a heavy show. And so sometimes I literally cry after I do the interviews. And it's those emotions that are still moving for me, thinking about navigating the grief journey of both of my parents. Like I held my mom's hand when she took her last breath. My dad, I was the first one who made it to the hospital after he had a heart attack. So for me, it brings a lot of comfort for me. It brings a lot of joy for me to be able to share such a sacred moment with other people who were present during their grief journey.
What have you learned from your guests?
I've learned, number one, that grief, I would say the biggest thing, grief, it hits everybody. It hits each and every one of us, number one. Number two, grief and love are twins that are born at the same time. One goes dormant until the other one experiences a death or change. The other thing that I've learned is there's still a ton of work to do in our society about talking about grief. And I'd say the last thing is the love energy that we've poured into a person, a job, a relationship, a friendship, a place that we used to live. That love energy is still within us. I still believe that my parents are still connected to me all the time. I feel like I get signs from them at different intervals throughout the day, throughout the week. And if we're open to seeing that death is not permanent, and if we adopt a mindset of gratitude to Michael, I really talk a lot about finding gratitude in my grief journey, because when we adopt an attitude of gratitude, nothing is truly lost.
Well said. How important is empathy in storytelling?
Ooh, how can you really tell the story without it sounding like the robot special? I mean, to me, empathy is really key in everything that we do. How can you really say that you've walked the path or navigated a path without truly being immersed in it? How can you really help somebody who's experiencing the transition of a parent, of a pet, of a spouse, if you haven't walked through it yourself? So I think empathy and storytelling, it's needed. Storytelling is powerful, right? Each and every one of us has a story. Your story is not for you. It's for somebody else to stop their dreams, goals, and aspirations from making the cemetery wealthier. Somebody needs your story in the exact way that you say it in order for them to start dancing to their own drumbeat. Because I get so many different people, because outside of me producing my own show, hosting my show, I also produce other shows. And I get a lot of people who come to me like, Portia, I want to start a podcast, but there's already a wellness podcast. There's already a mental health podcast. There's already a jazz podcast. There's already a podcast about pencils being thrown across the room, you know, just something completely random, yeah. Right? But I always tell them all the time, yes, there's podcasts in every genre you can think of, but there's nobody who speaks the language in the way that you do. So somebody needs your podcast in the exact message, in the exact way that you say it. All of our stories are powerful. You just have to tap into it and be passionate. Be passionate about when you share your story. Because the more passionate you are, the more empathetic you are, the more real and authentic, people are going to gravitate to you, right? Like they say, you attract more flies with honey instead of, you know, other random things. So does that answer your question?
Yes. Yes, it does. That's a good answer. What do you do to help your own mental health?
Number one, I take what I call Portia days. So anybody who follows me on Instagram or Facebook, you'll see that I say, oh, it's Portia's day. I'll catch you guys later. The other thing I like to do to Michael is disconnect from social media, because sometimes there's just too much, right? And don't get me wrong, I'll scroll through my Facebook feed or Instagram feed for very little periods of time, because one post will be, oh, cute cat videos. Then the next one will be somebody is saying RIP to somebody, or somebody is experiencing some other type of challenge or obstacle. So I really take time to disconnect from social media. The next thing that I do is I really am an audiobook and podcast junkie. I probably go through one audiobook a week. And I notice when I'm really going on a grief journey, not stemming from a physical transition, but maybe there's a part of me that I'm letting go of that is for my best good, but it's still hard, right? When we're in seasons of elevation, when we're entrepreneurs embarking on new endeavors. So I find myself really going into listening to books, nourishing music. I'm a big jazz fan. I love jazz music. I'm also a big metal fan too. I've been to so many different concerts. Concerts are my zen. Like I've seen so many different people in concert, Michael, from Korn, Slipknot, Hailstorm, Fall Out Boy, Avril Lavigne. I've seen so Eminem, Rihanna. I've been to so many concerts. That's what also replenishes my soul. And of course, being around my friends sometimes, but sometimes I disconnect from them too, just to really get myself back to my own zen. And I meditate a lot too. I think I meditate a good 2 to 3 times a day because I get overstimulated easily because I'm getting bombarded with emails. Hey, Portia, can you do this for me? Can you do this? So meditation is really another way for me to practice. And I go on long drives. When I tell you, Michael, if I had an unlimited gas card, I'd never be home. I'd probably deck out my whole entire SUV where I can do my show in my car. That's how much I love being on the road. Like, I'll get in my car now and drive easily 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
And have good music playing or a good audiobook. And that's where my inspiration comes from. Like, you know how the tires are kicking up the dirt and the rocks and things on the road? For me, it symbolizes they're kicking up ideas in through the radiator and it comes to my brain, literally.
With coming up with ideas, where do you want to see your media mission in the next 3 to 5 years?
In the next 3 to 5 years, Michael, honestly, I hope to have a media suite. Right. I want to have a media suite that has different podcasts that are educational, that are empowering, that have people who are what I like to call veterans in their area of genius. So I would love to have a career podcast under me. I would love to have a podcast that's about, you know, if you want to become a scuba diver, right? What's the path to do that? Or if you want to, you know, if you want to become a professional mermaid. Right. I want to also have a podcast that helps women to really navigate careers that are heavily driven by men. Like, I know so many different women in my circle who are amazing. I have my first coach, shout out to Captain Courtney Shock. She's a pilot. You know, you don't know too many women pilots, or I've met women who are diesel mechanics. Like, I would love to have a podcast that centers around those types of careers to really show that, hey, these opportunities are open to everybody. So I want to build a media suite. I want it to be able to be a global suite where there's people from other countries that speak multiple languages that can have podcasts on my network, right? Because we're all connected, right, through Zoom. I mean, especially, yeah. We might not all speak the same physical language, whether it's Spanish, Latin, Swahili, Arabic, whatever, but we can all connect in some way, shape, or form. So a media suite in the next 3 to 5 years. One of the things that I've kind of joked about a little bit, Michael, is because I do a lot of grief work, one of the things that I aim to do this year is to do eulogies because I'm also ordained. And, you know, I know some people, you know, when you're ordained, they want you to do weddings. No, you can do the weddings. I'll do the eulogies because I want to celebrate those lives that have transitioned and preserve what we've learned from them, right? And I did that for both of my parents. I did my father's reflection and then my mom's celebration of life we did at the lake. But I did like a little speech before we did a balloon release on her special day. So that's what I envision the next 3 to 5 years. Of course, traveling some, meeting some new people, and maybe eventually going on a book tour with music. We'll see. That might be in the works. Spoiler alert, but we'll keep that a little bit under wraps.
How does it feel to give other people in similar situations a voice?
For me, Michael, I'll be honest, it brings so much joy to my heart to be able to work with different podcasters, right? Because I have currently 6 different shows under me. And each one of these podcasters who I work with, they all have their unique personalities. I love working with them and seeing them grow in their craft, right? Because I mean, some of them are doing way better than what I did when I first started. I remember, Michael, when I first started my show, Grew with Portia, didn't get a single like on any of my flyers, didn't get a single share, nothing in the very beginning. And when I look at my hosts who I work with now, I'm seeing different people share their flyers. I'm seeing 17, 18, 19 shares on Facebook. I'm seeing, you know, their numbers creep up on YouTube. So it just makes me so proud that I was able to pave the foundation to make it easier for them, right? And then when I have these different individuals who come on my show and share their grief journey, I just feel so grateful to share this space with somebody else who gets it, somebody else who was searching and seeking for some other way to view this experience that we are all a part of, right? So every day it brings me so much joy and gratitude. Every day I write in my gratitude journal, Michael, how grateful I am for my clients, for the different people who I connect with, because I've met so many amazing people through podcasting, and some of them have become my clients. Like, you never know until you really step in. So I'd say every day I'm grateful, every single day, and I write it every day in my gratitude journal. I'm grateful.
How can people reach out and watch the show?
So you can watch The Grief Grand Tour either on my YouTube channel at Portia The Grief Grand Tour, my Facebook, Portia Booker, my LinkedIn, Portia Booker. You can also visit e360tv.com to watch my show. I'm under the Vitality TV network. You can also follow me on Instagram at Portia The Grief Grand Tour.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me and share your story. And I come from media, so it always pumps me up when I hear other people in the media succeeding. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Mike. I'm truly honored to be here and share with your listeners. You know, I just want to leave this final thought with your audience. Whatever it is that you want to do, pursue it. Always ask yourself, what's the hurt? What really is the hurt of me giving something a shot? Bet on you, follow your passion, whatever it might be, and always remember that your story is not for you. Your story is for somebody else to help their goals, dreams, and aspirations for making the cemetery wealthier. I'm Portia Booker, guys. Thank you so much.